Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Okay. It's Everything's Fine, episode 97.
Yeah. Close. 127.
127.
You had the last digit correct.
Oh, man. I'm Dallas.
I'm Travis.
And our theme this week is If It Dies, It Dies.
Yes, we were just discussing about your chinchillas and having to keep them cool in this extreme heat we have in Southern California right now. And after a long explanation of how you kept trying to keep them cool, you just basically said, well, if they die, they die. That's just what happens.
Yeah, that's just what's going to happen. I mean, you know, they were too expensive and we've had them for a long enough time where if they died, nobody would be like, oh, that's not expected. I think nobody knows how long they're supposed to live, right? Nobody knows the average life expectancy of a chinchilla.
We don't. I'm sure someone knows that.
No, I mean, I'm sure someone knows. It's not like common knowledge where you're like, oh, it's a dog. Dogs usually live like 11 years, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody knows that about chinchillas offhand.
Speaking of chinchillas or animals in general, why do people have I'm sure we've talked about this before. I just don't remember. But where's the line between like animals having a soul, or which ones are cute and which ones are edible? And, you know, that whole question, why it's so obscure, is that the right word? Or it's not based on any like rational reasoning. It's just certain animals taste good and certain animals we think are cute. Is it a cute thing? I don't know. I'm curious. Because like if your dog died, you would probably post it online and everyone would feel sad, but you wouldn't do that with your chinchillas. No one would care, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I wouldn't care very much. I would be sad because they make my wife happy, but I wouldn't care very much if they had. We've only had them a couple of years. It's not, you can't like cuddle them. You know what I mean? Like
you don't form the same kind of emotional attachment to them as you do a dog.
No.
Cause I was a monkey's uncle for a while and I formed like an extreme emotional attachment to that monkey. And then I've also formed like extreme attachments to a few dogs in my life, but I've been to other countries where they look at me silly for spending, you know, a percentage of my income, because it does take money to take care of an animal, on an animal that they would just assume eat, like we do chickens.
Yeah. I think like it's different for everybody, obviously. And I think it's a big cultural thing. But I've always marveled at that. I used to do a stand-up bit actually about it, that like you go to a county fair and you can win a goldfish. You know, and then what do most people do with that goldfish? They just throw it away in the parking lot when they get to the parking lot.
Totally.
Or it dies like a day later because nobody cares about it. But then yet people are like protesting SeaWorld. Like it's you know what I mean? It's like, I know they're not the same animal, but it's like, but essentially like who decided that goldfish were worthless and that dolphins weren't, you know what I mean?
Yes. Well, and it's, I think it's something deeper than we really even make conscious decisions about, because my 3-year-old daughter, she'll go out and she likes animals or bugs or whatever. We're very into butterflies and caterpillars, but she'll take the caterpillars and kind of look at them and pull them apart and squeeze them. And my 7-year-old will start like crying and being so distraught that she destroyed this other bug or whatever. But our lines are just so all over the place on what we tolerate as far as how animals are treated and, you know, the carnage we inflict upon them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I see, you know, like I have, you know, some friends who their kids, they like catch lizards all the time, you know?
Yes.
And they grab the lizard and clearly the lizard is like, no, like not interested in this.
I had a good thing going here. Let me alone.
Yeah. But like, you know, but then you're like, oh, it's a lizard. Like, who cares? You know what I mean? There's 25,000 more in the parking lot. Like, it's so strange. And I think that why can't I think of the word? Like a power thing almost. Like we feel so much more powerful over these animals. We can lord over them. So we get to choose which ones we consider friends and family and which ones we just consider to be nothing.
Right. Well, and there is a spectrum on that. I mean, some people, you know, the vegan, whatever, doesn't want to hurt anything. I'm very partial. Like, I don't want to hurt any animals or whatever, but I do eat meat. Mm-hmm. But what I've noticed in this, and maybe I'm, I don't know, reaching here for a topic or whatever, but to some people, animals have become more significant or important than people.
Yeah.
And I find that to be interesting. And maybe it's because, like, you know, people have a choice not to be jerks, where animals are just these innocent bystanders. But I think so much of what we do is like projecting human emotion and thought patterns onto even dogs, like the way that we think dogs are expressing or emoting or whatever. We put mm-hmm. our human interpretation of those things onto these animals. That, I mean, you can't really tell a dog owner that the dog is not vibing with you or whatever. You know what I mean? You just can't. But the dog mm-hmm. probably is just hungry or whatever. You know, like it has like an ulterior motive, and it knows how to get you to do what it wants by doing certain things. And like, if we're just really looking at the whole animal kingdom and how we relate to it or whatever, we're very not logical and completely emotional in how we place significance on, you know, animals, bugs, even plants. It's quite funny to me.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, like, I think that people love dogs so much because dogs are so loyal for the most part. And like, you know, people are always let down by each other, like other humans. And like, your dog is really not going to, unless you're a horrible dog owner, like, your dog's never going to let you down. Norm MacDonald has that great bit where, you know, even Hitler had a dog like, who was excited when Hitler came home. Like, right. Hitler would walk in the door, like, Hitler's home. Yay, Hitler's home. You know, like, dogs are just like loyal. They don't make any judgments or assumptions. They don't know anything. They just want you to be, they just want you to be their friend. But I thought about that a lot. Like, we have an older dog, Jingles, and he's like 14.
Yes. We have an older dog around the same age named Martini or Teeny. So yes.
Yeah. And you get to a point where like he just makes noises all the time, like these weird noises. Yes. And you never know if when you're petting, like, I feel like sometimes I'm petting him and he's like, please God, stop. Like, Sam and I were just talking about it, like, literally a couple hours ago, we were sitting on the couch and he was cuddling up. And when I would pet him, he would make a much louder breath. And we're like, either he's enjoying it or he's like, my skin is burning. Stop touching me. Like, but you don't know. You know what I mean? You have no idea. Funny. But then they cuddle up next to you. So you're like, well, I guess they like it. I guess they want to be touched. Like, but they've also been bred to be submissive and loyal. So who knows?
Who knows? It's so funny.
Oh, God.
But we obviously do care about animals more than people, because I haven't done the calculations. But my assumption would be that if we spent all the money that we spend on feeding animals on feeding people, there wouldn't be hungry people.
Oh yeah.
I again, that is just 100% made up out of my head, really, based on assumptions, but I bet that's true.
I'm sure that I love my dog. He's the greatest. We have two dogs. They're both really fun dogs and very cute and adorable. And if anything happened to them, I'll be very sad. But at the same time, if somebody was like, hey, if you got rid of those two dogs, we could feed these two whole families for their entire lives, I'd probably be like, yeah, okay, that's fine.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Like,
I think you're in the minority on that.
Really? You think if people were given the option, they would say, no, I just want the dogs?
Yes.
Wow. That's fascinating.
We already have that option. I mean, maybe the question is not set up just so plain and simple.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I know what I spend on my dog in food, and then what like food shelters and other food programs are asking me to spend.
That is true. And I don't mean to tie this in with the coronavirus, because I don't even know if you wanted to talk about it.
I had a couple ways to tie it in, but do it now. Take it away.
Well, I was just like yesterday, you know, it was Cinco de Mayo, and my wife really wanted a margarita, and we didn't have the stuff to make it, all the stuff. So there was a place down the street that was doing, it's like a, it's a can, like Mexican food place kind of thing.
Yes.
And so we called and they were like, yeah, we're doing it, but our food is way backed up. So if you're ordering, we're going to let you know, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, no, we just want margaritas. And they're like, come on in. So I went in and it was like packed full of people and like nobody was wearing masks. People were like outside smoking. And it was all like people in their late 40s and 50s. You know, those like people who own Lexuses and don't think anything applies to them and probably doesn't in the long run. But they, you know, they're all sunburnt and day drunk.
Yep.
And I was just like, I was fascinated by how much they, how literally like I said on the last episode, like if you were making that decision, if you're doing that, you're pretty much consciously making the decision to disregard all safety guidelines to do that. And then I went into the restaurant to wait to get the margaritas and the woman behind the counter wasn't wearing a mask. She wasn't wearing gloves. Like, I'm just like, did I go back in time? Like, it was just such a weird moment.
Yeah, what's going on up there in the Temecula?
It was so strange.
Everyone's wearing masks down here. That's funny.
But most people are. That's the thing is like the majority of people I see in this area are wearing masks or they're doing the safety guidelines. You know what I mean? Like if I go to Albertsons, everything's, you know, you have to go one way and blah, blah, blah. Like, and it's annoying and, you know, it puts a little bit of a hitch in your plans, but whatever. Like that's why I tie it in is like, if you can't do those little tiny things, like those small things that really don't inconvenience you, like maybe on the surface, it's a very cosmetic inconvenience. But if you can't just do that, just to be considerate of other people, then yeah, you would probably pick feeding your dog over a whole family.
Yeah. But what
like,
I'm
right. Like, yeah.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is like everyone that is a pet owner is in a way doing that, myself included. And I'm wearing my mask.
But I see your points too, but I think that it's like, nobody gave you that option. Like nobody came to you and gave you that scenario where, hey, if you do this, this will happen. And you've chosen one way. You know what I mean?
Right. Like I hear what you're saying. Yeah, where the choice is clearly in front of people right now.
Yeah. And I think that, right now it's like you clearly have a choice to be considerate of other people. And listen, I get it. Like I get if you're like, listen, I'm going out for a walk. And like you said last week, I'm going to walk around the block. I don't want to wear a mask. I'm not going to get near anybody. Like to me, yeah, there's some gray areas on that stuff. I get it. But when you're like, I'm sitting on top of other people, smoking cigarettes, drunk, moving around in this small, tight space, like that's you're clearly just not being considerate.
But Dallas, it's Cinco de Mayo.
I know, exactly. At least all of them are white. You know what I mean? At least there wasn't one.
But that's the point. Like if you're celebrating Cinco de Mayo, you're one of those people.
There was clearly the people who were just upset that like, you know, off the border was closed and they had nowhere else to go.
Well, the amazing thing about it is like when I kind of wanted to bring up Cinco de Mayo because of the cultural appropriationness to it. Right. Like it's not a thing that like Hispanic people care about. Right. It's not Mexican Independence Day. It's for one battle with the French or something.
Yeah, they beat the French in a big war.
And so much now of like every one of these Americanized holidays is kind of what they are, right? Like Thanksgiving, Cinco de Mayo, St. Patrick's Day. So many of these things are not actually things in the country they came from.
Yeah.
But they become this Americanized thing. And now the backlash on them is, well, you're stupid and white if you celebrate these things because these aren't actually culturally true and you're misrepresenting the culture that it is supposedly about. And it's really just a way for white people to dress up in other cultures' gear and get drunk. And I just think it's interesting like where we're at with that and what is American culture? Like is because that is true that people in Mexico don't care much about Cinco de Mayo. It's not like a thing like it is in America. But is it okay for America to have its own made up like thing in a way? You know, like the festival in Brazil or whatever that is it it's hyper real. Do you know what I mean? It's not based in like factual cultural things. There's like butterflies and fairies and all these different things. The same with most traditional holidays or whatever. There's not an actual bunny and there's not, you know, all. So my question is what is, when does cultural appropriation come in and be like, you're not allowed to do this anymore and it's actually offensive? And when is it just like, this made up day in a month so we have something to do that month so people can celebrate and get drunk. Right? Do you know what I'm asking? Like, what? Where's that line? And it's becoming more and more like, oh, I get it. I get why you're offended by it. But I don't think like people were trying to be offended by it. And I think we're getting to the point where we're going to have to reinvent these like cultural neutral celebratory things.
Yeah. I mean, I saw one bartender tweeted before St. Patrick's Day, they tweeted out like, well, at least we don't have to work on St. Patrick's Day. And then they quote tweeted that yesterday with saying, at least we don't have to work on Cinco de Mayo. And so like, yeah, like I think that is, it's become, I mean, listen, St. Patrick's Day is such a funny one for us because we, my wife and I, make a big deal out of it. Like, you know that.
Yeah.
You know,
we've been to many St. Patrick's Day party with you.
Yeah. We do a little shindig where people get together. We eat food and drink and just hang out and chat. And
dude, corned beef. Give me some.
Yeah. And in going to Ireland, you know, when we just went to Ireland, they out there basically were like, yeah, it wasn't a thing here until it became a big thing in the States. And now it's a big thing here. Like it's gone the other way.
Right.
Like they don't even care about it. And then, but it became so big in the States that then it became this thing that people from the States would actually come to Ireland for. And Ireland's number one industry is tourism. So they embraced it. And now it's like this thing in Ireland.
Right.
which is really funny to me. So like, that's a tricky one because it's like, obviously, like if you step back, you know, this is going to sound really silly to a lot of people, but to a lot of us, who if families are Irish, it doesn't. Like if you step back and you look at St. Patrick's Day, it's literally one of the most like racist days in American history. Like it's just flat out racism. Like it's, and I don't even know, I guess the Irish people, is that race or stereotypes or whatever it is. I don't know what you would call it, but it is unbelievable how much she, hold on a second. Amelia, baby, she's in the bathroom, I believe. Okay. So why don't you go? Oh, we can fix it in a minute. Sorry, guys. Sorry. My Irish princess of a daughter just came down. but it's like, you know, it's so, everything about it is like, hey, let's make fun of every single thing about Irish people. And then we'll just drink beer and celebrate that. And I think to me, like that is so funny that it's not even a question. Like people don't even look back and go, oh, we shouldn't do this. This is wrong. People are just like, it's St. Patrick's Day, man. Let's get drunk and beat each other up. Like,
yeah,
it's incredible. And also as an Irish person, I don't care if it ever goes the other way. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if it ever clears up because it's just a silly, stupid day and like you said, it's an excuse for people to get drunk. But we've turned it into a thing where it's an excuse for us to have friends over and eat good food and talk. But Cinco de Mayo, yeah, that's like different. Like, I feel like it did have significance. Like, I remember growing up, like, I feel like it did have a lot of significance. Like, I went to SCPA, which was down in Chula Vista, and which is, if you live in San Diego area, it's like that one of the most heavily populated areas of San Diego County for Mexican families.
Well, and it's very close to the border, yes.
Yeah, it's like right next to the border. And I feel like that down there, especially at my school, like they really embraced it and did stuff for it. And I feel like there was a lot to it. But yeah, definitely in the last like few years. And maybe that's just because we're older, like we're old white people now. And so the only people we know are other old white people who have just stolen it.
Like, yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. And I don't know if it's because it's Twitter and you're exposed to just so many more people, but it seems like all the holidays except for Mardi Gras, whether it's Columbus Day or whatever these holidays are followed with a huge contingency online letting us know why this holiday is offensive, historically inaccurate, and why we shouldn't celebrate it. And again, Cinco de Mayo, to me, was growing up being, you know, someone from San Diego that kind of got it, thought it was significant, came to find out it really wasn't to most Hispanic friends. But I think it's really interesting. And I wonder if like one like Mardi Gras will ever, you know, get in the crosshairs for cultural appropriation, because that's a French thing, right? Is that
Mardi Gras?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a, well, I mean, it's, what is it? It's,
Is it like a French Catholic type of thing? Like a religious plus?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So. It's kind of like, I am going to be totally wrong here and I apologize, but I feel like it's like the French version of like Dia de los Muertos.
Okay.
Like, I think it has something to do with like the dead, cause they all dress in like skeletons, you know?
Yeah. I thought it had to do with like Lent. Like you get all your sins out before you repent.
Yeah. 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 It has, it's all tied together.
Yeah.
But I think that's what it is. I think that's, it's supposed to be a tie-in. Like you, like you're a sinner and like, so you spend that day like as a, I don't know. And also don't care that much about it, but like,
right.
Cause it seems very area specific. Like Mardi Gras is clearly one of those things. Like, especially I remember when downtown San Diego started to try to do this Mardi Gras event, and maybe they still do, I don't know, but like they would close down and that would be their Mardi Gras event, you know, or close down streets. Like it was clearly an effort to just create another event for people to go get drunk at. Like there was no significance to it. Where I feel like the one in New Orleans that they do is significant to that culture and the people that live there. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's going to be interesting moving forward too, because so many of these, and they seem like, and I don't know if it's, of course, I don't think there's some big conspiracy where everyone's planning stuff out, but they seem like every month has its thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And without us being able to get together and stuff. And I think the deep reason for these culturally is so that we have like these common, you know, cultural things to celebrate. And I don't mean like Hispanic culture or whatever. It's so that American culture, we have something to unite around, even if we don't all agree on what those things are or what the significance should be. But through this COVID thing, like my Cinco de Mayo yesterday was very different than anyone I can ever experience. Especially because it was like on Taco Tuesday, to be super stereotypical. But yeah. You know what I mean? Like it didn't have any of the relevance because no one was getting together. No one got together on St. Patrick's Day this year. And in this new world we're in, what kind of like cultural events can we have where we feel like we still have community and we still, you know, get to meet strangers in a way that's like celebratory and fun and non-committal in a way, which is really what's fun about the street parties. I was in Chicago one year for St. Patrick's Day. And as culturally insensitive as it might be, it's a blast. Like it's so fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. By the River Green and, you know, all the bars are totally into it. And there's all these pub crawls, people selling stuff on the street. I mean, it's just a great time. What do we do if... To me, it seems, and I know it's only been like 2 months in COVID, but people aren't just going to go back to the old way of doing those things. And by the time we do, I think they'll be so different that we'll reinvented the way we do them.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the big question. And obviously it's one that's going to be at the forefront of your life for a while because of what you do. But like, and same thing for Sam is like, what is this going to look like moving forward? When are people going to feel comfortable getting around each other? And I mean, it is kind of a funny question because I think that, and I think there's a group of people who actually think about that. They're actually concerned about that. But then I go out yesterday to this place
and there's like
40 people who literally could give a shit. And you're just like, okay, well, I guess maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people aren't going to really be too concerned about this. And I actually think it's going to be more of the latter. I think people aren't going to care as much as everyone thinks that they're going to.
I don't know. I see this being a real like, and I know divide and conquer sounds intentional, but it's maybe not down party lines or whatever, but I think the split is so 50-50 on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same like Trump, non-Trump, you know, Democrat versus Republican, us, the whole thing. I think it's very, if you're a Republican conservative right now, you're out getting drunk at the bars. And if you're a Democrat, you're at home shocked that people aren't following the rules.
Well, I think that like one of the things that's made me most upset about all this and probably why I went off the other week too, is that what added the fuel to the fire was like, is that when this first happened, it seemed like everybody was kind of on the same page. Like there is of course people who are like, it's not as deadly as the flu and whatever, you know, like the arguments they wanted to make and whatever they wanted to say. And I understand that people wanted to feel like people are scared, you know, and I think, But at first it seemed like it didn't matter. Like Republican, Democrat, American, not American. Like everybody was clearly in this. You know what I mean? Like the whole world was now in this and we didn't really have a choice but to be concerned. But then as we've been talking about, the bad people take advantage of it. And both sides went down party lines and said, hey, we can use this to our advantage. And they did. I mean, it was, we talked about that maybe 2 weeks ago. I don't like Trump at all. I think he's a terrible person, but I was literally disgusted by the way people handled that disinfectant thing. Excuse me. Even though I think that, I mean, clearly he was dumb and wrong and stupid, but the way people ran with it and the extent that they took it to on their own side only made it worse. Like only made everything worse. You know what I mean? And now it is down party lines. Now it is like, if you're a Republican and you support Trump, go on outside, do what you want to do, lick poles. Like it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like go put your finger on every stoplight and then lick your finger. Like it, like they don't care. And I think it's a bummer too, because a lot of these, and I know you don't like me comparing this to anti-vax movements, but like a lot of these rallies and stuff are being started. It's already been proven several times over from every different news source. So it doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat, that they are being held and orchestrated by these anti-vax movements. And it's either MAGA or anti-vax movements that are behind most of these rallies. And that is a bummer to me that people are just letting themselves get involved in something because they're angry at what's happening. And I think what makes it worse is the fact that now it's going down party lines. And you're right. Like that bums me out to no end. Like I see so many people who are on Facebook who are, you know, who I kind of align more with politically, who are also taking this to the umpteenth degree. And I'm just like, what? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what we're supposed to do here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I thought we were all on this together. I thought we were all on the same page that this is a disease that's killing everybody. Who cares where you vote? And now that's not it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I totally see what you mean. I see it a little differently though. I mean, I don't think everyone was on the same page at all to begin with. But I do think what happened very quickly, at least with even in my own family, is that if you did not agree to that it was like that, if you didn't agree that we were all on the same page, you were shunned like I've never felt shunned before. And I'm not saying that I was shunned, but I could sense it around me where if you brought up a counterpoint or say anything, the immediate response was people are going to die. People are going to die. People, like, you could not get any discussion points out, talk about anything other than people are going to die. So we have to do what they say. And so I just think a lot of people for a while just said, okay, there's no discussing this. So I'm just going to be quiet. I'll participate. I'll at least, you know, because swimming upstream right now is going to be too much work and it's not worth the effort. And now after 2 months of this, they're just like, I'm not swimming upstream anymore. I'm just doing what I thought I should have done from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's like right down the middle. I'm not going to name names, but I've seen it like happen personally on both sides, listening to comments the whole time. And just at this point, like I'm done listening to the experts kind of thing.
I'm done listening to everybody. Like last week, you know, like last week when I was going off and stuff, I listened back to it and I feel like I did, you know, a 65% good job on explaining where I was trying to come from. But really that's, honestly, like that is the biggest thing that makes me so mad about this, is that now all of a sudden no one's an expert and everyone's an expert. And it's like, guess what? That's just not true. Like I saw a post on Facebook today from a person who I know where they stand. I know exactly what they believe in. And it clearly isn't coming from any perspective other than this is interesting, which was like, they just reported that, I think, oh God, I'm going to get the place wrong, Seattle or something. But there was like a Navy or an Army medical base that set up in Seattle. And they were there for 9 weeks or something like that. They didn't see, not 9 weeks, 9 days. They didn't have one patient and then they packed up and left. And like, people are going to look at that and go, see, it's all a bunch of bull. And whereas I look at that and go, no, we all did what we were supposed to do. We stayed home so we didn't spread this thing out of control. And the government did what it was supposed to do. It set that up just in case it did get out of control and we needed a space to go. And that's, I think, the rational look at it. But then you get these people who muddle it and be like, see, we can do whatever we want. No one's getting sick. You know what I mean? Like, it's these two polar opposite point of views, but I'm like, one of them's rational and the other one's insane because you want to go surf. Like, does that make sense?
No, I what you're saying makes sense, but I don't think that like one's rational and one is, I want to go get my haircut.
You don't think it's rational that you don't think it's rational that they said, hey, everybody stay home so we don't overwhelm our medical facilities. We all stayed home. Our medical facilities didn't get overwhelmed and people are going. And then the reaction to that isn't, hey, good job, everybody. But it's, oh, this is, look at this. No one's in the hospital.
No, like, don't you think? No. Like I said last week, I think it's way more nuanced than that. Again, you're looking at death rates are through the roof right now because people can't get in for common things because we put such a priority on COVID. I think an overreaction to something we did not understand, and I've said it many times, and I'll say it again, where we could have had a much more focused effort. We did a really bad job of putting our resources mainly where they should have been, and that is in like senior care facilities. There's stories of bodies piling up at senior living facilities because we did not divert the majority of our attention where it should have been on the most vulnerable. We blanketed the whole thing and said, everyone's staying at home. Hospitals are shutting down in preparation for everyone getting COVID. And it was not done in the nuanced way that I think it should have been, to where we are not going to fully understand the repercussions of shutting down the economy for 2+ months for years coming out. I mean, there at Dallas, there's over 20 million people lost their jobs in April alone. And many of those are never coming back. Mm-hmm. So just to say like people are trying to surf or people want their haircut, people's livelihoods are literally like putting food on the table, taking care of themselves is what's at stake here. And just to say, well, the government says to stay home so we won't overrun the hospitals and here's $1,200. So shut up. It to me is not rational. Like there's people out of money right now that can't go get food. Like that's a real thing because they were told to stay home.
I understand that. But this is the funny thing that I think happens between you and I, because we both do it, is that you call for a more nuanced argument and then you just unnuanced it by saying the government told you to shut up and stay home. And here's $1,200 and shut up. The government never said that.
What do they do?
Obviously, if the government really wanted you to shut up, they really wanted you to shut up and stay home, then all those protesters in Huntington Beach, they would have been all arrested and told to shut up and put back in their homes. But they weren't, because at the end of the day, no one actually knows what's going on. And that's the problem, is everybody wants the boogeyman and there is no boogeyman.
So if no one knows what's going on, Dallas, then why are we doing these blanket things that affect everyone? Like,
because they have to do something. You would rather they do nothing?
That's not what I said either. I said we should have focused our resources on the people that are dying from this, and we haven't done that. We haven't gone into senior care facilities and turned them into like these quarantine, you know, ET style places. We just blanketed our care across everything flat. And for you just to say that, well, we should have done something, which was blanket flat, and otherwise you think that people should, or I don't understand like your rationale with that. No, there was other options. There was other ways to handle this in the way we did it. And we didn't have all the information. Not everyone knew what was going on. We use a wide range of computer models. And I think that hindsight will show that we did not take the best course of action. We reacted in a way that could have been better. Like there's room to critique what we did. And just sure. to say that, well, that, but that's not, you just said, well, so should we have done nothing? No, we should have done something different. And sure. I think it's okay to critique it. And I think we did a bad job by ruining the economy the way that we did, which is just not going and getting your haircut. It's just not about surfing. It's how real people actually go out and earn a living to provide food and shelter for their family. And I know that we're so privileged in America that like we are so disjointed from the fact that like actually people don't have food, people actually don't have shelter, and people actually live in the wild in a way in the world, to where we just like, yeah, stay at home and like everything will be fine, guys, because there's a virus out there. So just stay at home. Like that's not reality. It's not how it works. We actually have to go provide. We have to do labor to provide food and shelter for our families. That's like the laws of the universe. Like it's just always how it worked. Like if you just sat at home and didn't go out hunt and gather, you would not starve to death. And I know that it feels disjointed because of technology or whatever, but those are realities. Like you, so for the government to say, which they did, you cannot conduct business. You have to go home. And there's no talking about this. There's no discussion. There's no committees. There's the government. There's the president and the recommendations and the governor saying you have to do this. That's all it was. Mm-hmm. And so I think there is room to critique. And I think there is room to look at people that are going to bars now, even though I disagree with them because I think it's disrespectful. And I don't think it furthers the discussion on a rational level because they seem so extreme. So who's ever going to take them seriously? But yeah, I think that we could have done a better job with this in many, many ways.
Well, I think that there is, first off on that comment, I think that you could look back at every single thing that's ever happened in the history of the world and America and always say there was a better way to handle it because now you can go back and look at it.
Right. So, but like to the people that were saying these things along the way, it's super frustrating for that to be the excuse every time. I just want that to be said.
Not well, my excuse, but my excuse isn't the fact that we I think like that's the problem is like I'm talking about one specific, I am nuancing the conversation. And I think you keep blowing it up to be a bigger thing than what I'm talking about is I'm creating one specific example and one specific thing. And that's what I'm discussing and commenting on. And then it keeps getting into this bigger, well, people have to go provide, people have to go do this and do that. And that's not what I'm talking about at all. Like people have to provide for the families. Obviously this unemployment thing is a huge deal. And I think, you know, not to get conspiracy theory at all. I think if we were smarter people, we'd probably realize the reason why these states are pushing to reopen is because most of these states are about to go bankrupt. So I like, cause you can't afford, like there's no fund for all this unemployment. The fund doesn't exist. So it's like this, a lot of stuff, like you're right. I totally agree. Shutting down the economy for this amount of time is going to result in so many repercussions that there's no way we could foresee. I mean, it would be impossible for us to say that we can see all the repercussions that are going to happen. So I completely agree with you on that. And I don't think we've ever disagreed on that throughout all of this. My comment is that even down to this point, people can't even be rational to the point of saying the point, like what we did to, the reason we wanted to stay home was not to spread the disease. And the main reason behind that was so that we could flatten the curve and not overwhelm hospitals. We didn't overwhelm hospitals. That there's no, you can't nuance that anymore. We literally didn't overwhelm hospitals. And the people's reaction to that happening, that one singular thing of not overwhelming hospitals is, yeah, because it's not bad. The pandemic isn't bad. And I look at that and go, well, I don't think it got out of hand because we stayed home. Now staying home and shutting down the economy, was that the right decision? I don't know. But I know that one result of that, more than likely, I can't find another argument the other way, was that a bunch of people didn't get sick all at once and go to the hospitals. And like, you can say that there are different things that would have happened, but like I'll sidetrack this slightly, only a smidge. I'll go like 25 degrees to the side, saying that like my mom had cancer. She died not as a result of her cancer. Most people who die from cancer is not a result of cancer. Like you don't ever go, well, they died because of cancer. They catch something and their immune system is so compromised that they can't get out of it. And so that it gets them sick. That's why when we would go visit her or whatever, we would have to wear masks if we were feeling sick or anything. Like if we had a cough or a sneeze or allergies, whatever it was, it didn't matter. You had to protect yourself and guard yourself when you went in there, because if she caught even the smallest of cold, it could kill her. But when she dies, they don't put down the flu or whatever. They put down cancer, because that's ultimately the catalyst for what happened. So like people, like my mom, like I totally understand what you're saying with people in nursing homes and stuff. But people like my mom, she would never have gone to a home. She never went to hospice. She had hospice nurses come to her. There are a lot of people who decided long ago, I'm in this condition. I'm compromised. I'm going to stay home though, because this is what I want to do. This is how I want to live the rest of my life, is this way. And we'd let them make those decisions. Now, if she was to get sick or anything like that, they're not going to bring her into a hospital. They're not going to do anything, because they, like, that's the way they handled this stuff. I mean, I had MRIs done on my brain and my back because I was going through some different stuff. And literally I had it done right before all this stuff happened. And I got a phone call back and they were like, you're clear and everything looks fine. We have some other things we want to do though, but don't come in right now. And they're saying don't come in right now because I could catch something in there. Just like you could if you went to the hospital anyway, if you went to the pharmacy. Like you go to the pharmacy because when they're in the hospital, you can catch something there. Like people like my mom, they would never tell them to come into the hospitals. The hospitals are going to be empty. They're not going to tell people to go into the hospitals because of the COVID situation, regardless of if you have it or not. They want to protect people. And I like to, for me, like, I don't understand how anybody cannot see that side of the argument. Like it just doesn't make sense to me. And the nursing homes and all that stuff where people are dying, like you're totally right. We should have been more focused on that. And there are a lot of reports coming out that those places were like completely understaffed and not using the right protective equipment. And it was just spreading like wildfire. But I mean, on any given day, that can be the same at a hospital as it is there. I don't know. I just don't see the argument of what we did didn't do anything or what we did didn't accomplish what it was supposed to accomplish. I feel like it accomplished a large part of it. And I feel like that's something that we can go, good, we did that. Now, the other things that we did as far as shutting down the economy and all that stuff, I don't disagree. There's going to be a lot of questions, a lot of repercussions, a lot of things, a lot of people who don't have money.
Here's what I'm trying to say. Is we could have achieved the similar or same results without taking the steps that we took. And for the argument to be, well, they took these steps and it's not as bad as we thought because we took these steps. I think we can say it's not as bad because we took these steps, but we could have taken different steps and had same or similar results.
But that
I think just to dismiss that as, well, we just listened and it worked. It is not correct at all. I don't think it is, because I think we're going to find out some other things as we learn more about the disease that we could have reacted differently.
Sure. So, there's always going to be that thing.
But your argument is that we took these steps and so the hospitals weren't overwhelmed. So we did the right thing. Now let's move on to fix the huge repercussions of that decision. Like for everyone to stay at home and flatten the curve is what led to the economy collapsing. They're not disjointed. So to say, well, we're trying to flatten the curve, so everyone stayed home and that was accomplished, but the economy is destroyed and now we have to deal with that as like two separate things. They're not like one caused the other. And therefore, to me, we can go, well, the steps we take, we maybe could have done it so we didn't destroy this other thing in the same time. And now we have a whole nother set of problems to deal with that are unintended consequences of these steps that we took. And people at the time we were taking those steps said, hold on, can we discuss this before we go into these drastic measures? And the response I feel was, shut up, you want people to die? Shut up, do you want people to die? And I said, no, I don't want people to die. And if that's the terms in which this discussion has to take place, then I'm not going to have the discussion. And now that we're 2 months into this, just hearing, well, we took these steps and flattened the curve, and so that was the right decision. And now we have to go to and fix the economy, and that's something different to me. Is like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not how any of this worked.
But, okay, but do you, I mean, and this is not, and this is an actual question, not me being sarcastic anyway. Like, do you literally think that going back 2 months in time, as far as problem solving, to look back and to say, oh yes, we did in fact do that wrong. Do you think that effort is going to have any fruit in what we need to do now?
Yes.
Like fixing the economy. Do you think going backward and just focusing on how the missteps were taken, do you think that's going to actually
fix the economy? Yes, because there's a lot of people that feel marginalized right now. And I've had lots of experience in this in my life, is professionally especially, where I'm in the organization, I'm saying, guys, can we just take a few more minutes and talk this through and look at this and not necessarily like take these steps. There's other perspectives here. And no, it's been pushed through. We have to do this because we have to pay this. We have to do that, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, whoa, just one more second to really think this through. And then months, years later, it's, oh, we're so sorry. We wish we would have done. And so there's always the excuse of, well, we're not there now. We're sorry we missed it, but we just got to push on through. And I think really examining mistakes so that we don't repeat what we did in the past is important. And I think we are just pushing forward and not looking back over the last 2 months and analyzing them and going, look at what we did. What can we do next time not to have the whole world shut down over something we're not totally informed about?
What do you, and again, honest question, like what are things that you think, like one thing you think that we could have done differently?
One thing that we could have done differently?
Yeah, that would help, that would not put us here in this situation.
Is to not shut down businesses of all type.
I think that could have been managed.
I think there's social distancing practices that could have happened. I don't think what's happening in Home Depot right now is any different than what would be happening in my hair salon. In fact, I think that they're, I mean, I know because I have a friend who's a tattoo artist, the precautions they take on that already to keep like blood transfer diseases happening. Like, yeah. I think that there's certain industries that could have coped with it, but it was like, there was.
Full disclosure. Your friend is the friend who did my tattoos. And I mean, we might as well give him a plug. If people are listening, his name's Jorge. And he works at Vessel Tattoo, right? Vessel?
Yes, I think that's what it's called.
In El Cajon, California. And he did my tattoos and one of my wife's. I messaged him a couple weeks ago. I was like, are you doing house calls?
Right.
Because like, I'm like, we're all here. I might as well get something done. And then at the same time, I agree with you. Like I'm like, you get the only thing that people get worried about with that, and the same with salons. And to be fair, you can't really take offense to people getting weird about it. It's just the very close touching, especially hairstylists, you know, they're going to be like, I couldn't imagine trying to do that job in gloves. Like if you had to wear gloves at all, like, I don't know how you would really do that job. I'm sure that they have to learn to some degree, but like, it's a lot of like touching skin on skin. You don't know where that hairstylist has been. You don't know where your tattoo artist has been. But I mean, but at the same time, that is always the case when you go into a salon or a tattoo parlor, you don't know where they've been. But Jorge does do, I mean, he's done a bunch of my stuff and every time he's taken a lot of precautions for everything he's done. So like, I totally get your point. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that going into Albertsons or Home Depot and seeing how they're doing it, I don't understand why a lot of other places couldn't have done it like that.
Yeah, and I know it sounds crazy and maybe it's just like the fringe things, but there's plenty of articles you can read about people already in court and going to jail for opening their businesses. There's a whole story in Florida where the cops showed up and started arresting people for working in like a wood yard or something. It's insane. That's insane to me. And that's overstepping. There's nothing rational about that. It's not protecting the spread of a virus. None of those things are true. It is the government exercising their power and making sure that we know that they can. There's no other explanation for it.
And I completely agree with that. I don't think that it's right to do that because at the end of the day, what did that serve? You know, like what did you really prove or do there? I think there are other ways you could do it. If somebody is doing something and they're breaking the law, what do? Most of the time you give them, if it's something that minor, you give them a fine or you go and you tell them to stop. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, let's be honest.
Well, yeah. And guess what? I know it's been happening a lot more than the news has been reporting because after that surfer incident at the very beginning of all this, I know there was, keep that crap out of the public. The city did not want all the violations and crap they're doing to go. People would have gone nuts. The Huntington Beach thing would have been twice as big.
I don't know. Like, honestly, I'm telling you right now, man, like, I know you're saying that, but I think I've said this on the podcast before, like the Riverside County, they came out and they're like, oh, we're going to, you know, this, you got to wear a face mask. Can't do this. Can't do that. And then like, literally the Riverside County Sheriff got up right after him and said, I'm not enforcing any of this.
Totally. I think community by community, but trust me, there are some communities that are totally different. The law.
Yes. But I also think that, you know, bike cops in OB aren't tackling dudes. I think that happened once. I think it happened once or twice. I'm sure it did because people were just being jackasses.
But Here's what I know is happening.
I don't think it was happening all the time.
People are getting fines right now at record numbers because they are trying to make up for lost revenue in the normal crimes that people aren't committing.
But that brings us back to the beginning of this podcast where you go, if all you have to do is just wear a mask for right now,
all you have to do is just like open your business and cut hair so that your kids can eat.
No,
it's not just a mask.
You keep changing it.
No, I honestly, I've seen tons of people not wearing masks. I've seen two dudes in a fist fight at Home Depot, which is ironic because you're touching the guy's mouth for not wearing a mask. But like I have, the things I have read about are people getting like serious fines for opening the doors on a business that they should see closed. So I don't know.
That part of it is I don't know where I'll be honest. I don't really know where I stand on it. I will tell you this, like after what I saw yesterday and what I went through yesterday, walking in and the person by the counter and I'm wearing a mask, I was like, oh, I'll just never go here again.
Like, yeah. Well, and that's how like, business I'll just won't
support that
for another episode.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think most people, instead of like, and I literally afterwards was like, I'm going to get on the Temecula Facebook group and blah, blah, blah. But I was just like, it's not, why would I do that? Like, I'm just making a discussion. I'm making a decision that I don't have to go to that particular place anymore because I completely disagreed with everything that they were doing. And not only that, but they were just being, it was, like I said, it's being completely inconsiderate to everybody else. Like, yep. You know what I mean? Like, that's what bothers me. But I don't disagree with you. If there's, I know you and I both know plenty of hairstylists. We both know, you know, Jorge or anybody else that works in that kind of an industry where they're like, what are we doing? Like, when are we able to do this? And when are we able to provide? And yeah. I mean, if anything, honestly, this is going to sound silly because I'm not even in that position, but it's going to, if anything, people need to do what our parents did, actually probably not our parents per se, but their parents, which was just save.
Yeah.
like you always wondered why your grandparents always could give you $20. It's because they saved their money.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to worry about it. Like my mom didn't do that. And, you know, growing up, it's like you have to work so many jobs to save money, but oh man, like that's like priority number one for me moving forward is like, okay, we can't ever get stuck in the situation. You know what I mean?
Totally.
It's crazy.
Crazy, crazy. All right. I got to wrap up.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm sorry.
No, don't worry about it. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I think we reached a conclusion where we didn't agree.
Awesome.
And
now we also didn't record another episode.
But we also didn't disagree.
Amazing. Well, I have a song picked out.
I'm excited.
If you care.
And I'm sorry, you've been tagging me on these things on Facebook to the albums.
Yeah, I'm not doing it very consistently either.
No, but I want to do it. I just, there's so many of those things going around.
But in that process, I came across some old music that I used to love. And so the song I chose for today is by Howard Jones. No One Is to Blame, Dallas. I don't know if you know this song at all, but it's a pretty good song.
I don't know, but it's timely.
It's very timely.
Except for Trump, he's to blame.
To blame. moment.